think I told you, or maybe I didn't, but I was going to, I doubt it happens, but there was interest in Eli coming on my show.
Really?
While he's here, yeah. I don't know if it'll happen, but I'm like, dude, that'd be so great. Just because I'm like, let's go ahead and bury this hatchet, this stupid thing that's going on. I was like, I'll even get Michael over here and be like, you can be the moderator and we can talk, we can talk about this.
All right. President of the Eli Drinkwitz Fan Club, John Neighbors, Inside Arkansas, Locked On, Razorbacks. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, guys? How are you?
Doing good, doing good. I do. I mean, we joke because obviously everybody knows you from Mizzou and, of course, Arkansas.
Of course.
I got to ask, if I had gave you True Serum right now and said you could switch coaches right now, would you?
No.
No?
No, I wouldn't.
We're going to tell him you said that. No.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure he'll hear about it and mention me by name again, which is always appreciated. But, no, here's the deal. It's funny you ask that. I've been asked that by Razorback fans even, because I've always felt like one of the best indicators of your coach that you like or don't like, you look at the rest of the league that they're in and say, okay, how many coaches would you trade straight up for? To me, that's always – if it's the majority of the coaches in the conference, then, yes, you got a problem. But how many of them would you say, yes, I would be willing to trade straight up for that? And with Pittman, he's such in a precarious situation because you want to win. He's gone 6-6, 4-8, 6-6 in three straight years. That's not inspiring anybody. That's not bringing any excitement. But I also feel like he's been set up to fail at the University of Arts. I just don't think he's gotten what he's possibly needed. Not to say he's like championship-winning coach. Like, I don't know, but I just feel like there hasn't been a whole lot of help that he's probably needed to elevate himself and to show that, because I don't think he's a bad coach. I mean, he's not a bad coach. Chad Morse was a bad coach. We've seen bad coaches at Arkansas. He's not a bad coach. I just think that there are some things that he has some weaknesses in, but if he doesn't have the support system that other teams in the conference have, it's going to be a struggle no matter what.
Yeah, it's all about players.
Yeah.
And I guess at a point you could say that's his fault, but I think a lot of fans don't see the bigger picture. Like, remember when, obviously you'll remember this, and this wasn't the first time, but a couple of Razorbacks went and played for Ole Miss. There was like a meltdown.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to my knowledge, that's because Arkansas said, well, hell, we got Talen Green, and we got to invest in him. Would they rather have Talen Green or Luke Hawes, who's injured all the time, Jalen, quarterback, he missed all last year. I mean, or an offensive lineman. I mean, give me a quarterback that I think could be a top five quarterback in this conference. I think Talen Green and Bobby Petrino, they're going to make Arkansas dangerous out every game this year.
That's the one glimmer of hope that Razorback fans has with Talen Green and Bobby Petrino.
Yeah.
Because if they had any quarterback that was coming in as a transfer, say if Talen Green moved on last year, graduated, whatever, and they had a new quarterback, it would be even worse than what it is now because there's just so much uncertainty. I think what bothers people more so than anything about the players leaving Arkansas is where they went.
Yeah.
Ole Miss is a better team and program right now than Arkansas with Lane Kiffin. And so if those three guys, Jalen Braxton, Luke Haz, and Patrick Kutis, are good enough to play at Ole Miss, they're good enough to play at Arkansas. Josh Braun going to Kentucky. You had Addison Nichols going to SMU. You had the Metcalf twins going to Michigan. Okay, these weren't guys that were going down. They were going up. So if they're good enough to play there, why aren't they good enough to play here? And that is what sparked everything for Razorback fans because they're sitting there, yes, we love Talen Green. You got to help him out. But it requires a lot more than that, and there's just so much uncertainty because there's so many new faces. There are some players I'm really excited to see that they got out of the transfer portal. I think they did a good job with getting some defensive players. I think they did a good job with some of the receivers because I think they're more based with the Petrino-type style of offense and speedsters. But you just don't know. There's just an uncertainty. So when you feel that way, Razorback fans may be feeling a little bit leaning towards the negative side than trying to be optimistic when that happens.
Well, I mean, that's the first SEC game that you guys have. How big is that one? Because, honestly, we've talked to several folks, and they're not – too high on Ole Miss, which I think would be perfect for Arkansas to pull off a big one here. So how pivotal is that matchup?
Oh, I did a podcast yesterday on that. It's the game that's going to really make or break the season. And I don't think I'm overstating that because we and you guys know how difficult Arkansas' schedule is this year. And we know that the fans are already hanging on by a thread as far as their belief and excitement. You have Alabama A&M to start the year, and you play Arkansas State and Little Rock, which is stupid. But you should win both those games. Go on the road to Ole Miss in Oxford, nighttime, all of that. If you win that game, it sets you up to where, okay, it sees where you stack up. It's not a disaster. It's not this team that looked like crap last year at home where Ole Miss set every offensive record known to man against you. You bounce back. You took care of business. You beat Lane Kiffin. You went on the road. It says, okay, maybe this team can do something this year. But if you lose, and especially if you lose in a convincing way, you got Memphis on the road next, which, again, I don't know who's made this schedule. It's the stupidest thing ever. And then after that, you have Notre Dame at home. You could be looking at 2-3 before that Tennessee game that you have on the road. So, to me, Ole Miss in that game is either going to make the season be hopeful if you win it and give people feelings that, hey, you can pull some things off, or it's going to be like, yep, we're done, over, see you guys later. Who's the new coach? Yeah. It's going to be that quick of a deal.
Well, maybe you haven't heard. Arkansas owns Tennessee. Haven't you heard that?
Hey, yeah. Whoa, hey.
Yeah.
I did want to ask you about scheduling, because how excited are you don't have to go to Jerry's World?
I'm excited about it. I'm torn in it, though, because, yes, Arkansas lost almost every one of those games, and they lost in the same exact way every year, where they should have won, and I'm getting in trouble for this one. They should have won. They were in position to win, but stupid stuff happened. Stupid decisions were made, bad, whatever it was. They found ways to lose. It was incredible. And it started off so good because that game, I went to the first three of them in Jerry World, and Arkansas won all of them because Bobby Petrino was the coach. And then after that, from 2012 to last year, Arkansas won one time. One. But every game seemed like it was close. And I loved going down there because Dallas is in Arlington. Great. I mean, you're playing in Cowboy Stadium, playing in Jerry World. The Razorback fan base in the DFW area is massive. That should have been an awesome thing every year. That should have been something to where kids who are in school at the U of A get to go down home and visit their families. It should have been a great recruiting thing, because it's like, hey, you know, most teams, if they get to play in Jerry World, means they went to the playoff or the Cotton Bowl. You get to play in it every year, no matter what. That should have been something that set Arkansas up for such a great thing in the program. But because you lost every single time, it ruined it. It just absolutely ruined it. And so I'm glad that it's over. I hope and I think that Arkansas will have other games there. Maybe not one team every year, but maybe they'll do an actual Southwest Classic where they play a Baylor, play a TCU, play an SMU, something like that. So I don't think they're never going to play there again. But I am glad, though, that it's not against A&M anymore, and I am glad to see A&M at home this year, because Arkansas has only played Texas A&M at home one time since they joined the SEC, and that was the Johnny Manziel year in 2013. So,
what's the game that you have that you believe Arkansas can most likely pull that upset? Is it like a Notre Dame? Is it a Tennessee, LSU, Texas, or can we even say Missouri?
I mean, at this point in time, there's like the schedule and how it sets up. It's like if I say four wins, one of those are going to be an upset because of the schedule that they have. You know, it's so tough because on the road, this is what pisses me off about Arkansas, okay? They play their worst games at home. Now, Tennessee last year was an anomaly, but even in that game, Arkansas should have won by a lot more. Like, if you remember correctly, like, Arkansas just couldn't get anything in the end zone. They were driving. I'm glad they won. But even then, they weren't playing their best. They got housed by LSU last year, coming off of that Tennessee win and a bye week at night, a night game, and they got smoked. Ole Miss, we talked about breaking records against them last year. Texas was close and, you know, and everything like that, but even in the previous years, my brothers in Christ, we saw a 7-3 final score against Mississippi State where you lost. But then you go on the road at times and you compete, like even A&M and Arlington, you competed in that one. You know, you go on the road, you beat Mississippi State last year, which, you know, wasn't saying much, but you beat Mississippi State, you beat Auburn. You know, in Missouri, you lost again, but you at least played better against them than you did in some of the games at home. And so that's the thing that I just drives me up a wall, where I should be like, oh, man, the home games, that'll be when they upset, but they don't play well at home. So if I was going to pick one, I would honestly, truly say either Ole Miss or Texas A&M. I'm going to call that an upset because I think Texas A&M, not going to they're going to be great, but I think that they'll be, when Arkansas faces them, like a top 25 team, I think that that could be one of them. But other than that, nah, I ain't got nothing more.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, we got to put a helpline at the bottom. You know?
Hey, but hey, listen, you know, you got basketball, you know, baseball. It's not always bad. But no, in all honesty.
I don't think Arkansas is that far off. You know, we talked about this year being one of the craziest seasons. It wouldn't blow our mind if some of these teams that maybe we've wrote off as middle of the pack hits. Taylen Green, who knows, that wide receiver room that we – don't know about, maybe two or three of them pop off and this defense does improve and this offensive line under Sam Pittman becomes something. You know, there's opportunity, and I do like the scheduling. You know, you mentioned a lot of those games, but if that were to happen, who are a couple of names that probably folks outside Arkansas are not familiar with, but you got your eye on right now saying, hey, if we have a successful season, it's because one or two of these guys.
Well, I mean, the obvious one is, as I mentioned, with Petrino and Taylen Green.
Right,
I mean, that's
right.
Where it's going to start. But outside of that, you know, I think, you know, you lost Jaquindon Jackson last year at your running back position, which Jaquindon Jackson was awesome. That guy, if he just would have stayed healthy, he loved contact, but I did, he was just a beast. You lost him. You got Braylon Russell coming back. But, you know, Mike Washington, he's a transfer running back, I believe from New Mexico State. He's not as physically empowering as Jaquindon Jackson, but he's a big guy. He's like 6'2", 230. I really like having that type of running back because that's what Petrino wants. His entire time when he was at Arkansas, and, you know, he always has a style that he can make work, but he loves big running backs. That's why Jaquindon Jackson was a great fit for him. He doesn't like the scat backs. So I think that he's going to get a lot of run, and I think that if he stays healthy, and, of course, the offensive line steps up, I think he could be that guy, and I think he could really do well. The Omega Blake wide receiver, I hear, has got everything that you could possibly want. But in the spring, the thing that Petrino was talking about was the route running. And I think that was a lot of the new wide receivers. Because Petrino, everyone talks about this way of coaching quarterbacks, which is true. But the thing about Petrino, in case you guys don't know, I really love Petrino. The thing about Petrino is he has his wide receivers so meticulous when it comes to their route running. That's what makes the quarterbacks even better. It's like, you will not play for me if you cannot run this route this exact way. And he's great at coaching them up. So I think no matter what, you're going to have some receivers step up. Last year, you had guys that were huge. You know, Andrew Armstrong, 6'3". Isaac Tesla was about 6'3". Tyrone Broden was 6'7". You know, you had big wide receivers. They've gone the opposite direction. They got two wide receivers out there that are 5'9". Tiny little guys. And so they have a couple guys that are the good size. But my point is, I think they're going to see a lot more of, hey, just get the ball in their hands and let them go do stuff. Because one of the great things back in 2010, Jarius Wright, Joe Adams, I know you guys remember, Jarius Wright was 5'11". Joe Adams was 6 feet tall. They weren't big guys, but they were incredible in the passing game because they were open. And so I think that that's what could really open up this year. So I like Omega Blake. Ismail Cece was somebody I was excited about, but he got hurt in the weight room, and maybe we'll find out when Pittman talks just how much it's going to be as far as his injury goes. But, you know, I like those guys. But defensively, real quick, it's also a tough thing because there's a lot of new faces there. But, you know, I think that someone like Steven Dix, the linebacker, he played a little bit last year. He stepped up and he got better. I think Travis Williams does a great job of developing linebackers. I think he's a guy that, alongside Xavier Sory, could really make some noise this year and really help Arkansas out.
I like how he casually dropped in Joe Adams.
That was unnecessary.
Like, Shane doesn't have nightmares of that play to this day.
I think we had 15 defenders on that punt return and still could not bring him down.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think you're going to be okay because we still have Clint Sterner in his fumble. So I think you're going to be just fine. All right. Yeah, it's like if that's the one play we have over Tennessee, I still think you're doing just fine.
Hey, I feel like we say this every year, and I'm not trying to pick on the guy because I'm very big fan of Sam Pittman, but isn't it weird we're going into, what, year five? And it
six.
Always six, and it always feels like the offensive line is a question mark, moving pieces around, adding transfers. How big of a surprise is that, again, we don't know if that's a strength. I would have thought the day you hired Sam Pittman, that meant we were always going to have a great offensive line.
That's been the most shocking thing about it all. Sam Pittman has never been a head coach before until he came to Arkansas. And kind of like what you said, well, at the very, very minimum, Arkansas is going to have a great offensive line. He may not be able to do anything else. They're going to have a great offensive line. And not only have they not had a great elite-level offensive line since he's been here, there's been times they've had awful offensive lines, and it doesn't make any sense. I know there's been some coaching changes. I really like Eric Mateos, who's the offensive line coach now, really fired-up guy. I thought that Arkansas improved their offensive line for sure last year from the previous year. But after losing Kudus, Addison Nichols, Josh Braun, you still got Carmona on the offensive line. He's really good. You got some guys that I really liked from added from the portal. There's a chance that it could be just as good, if not better. But it is baffling. It's kind of going back to, like, it's imagine Petrino with a bad offense. Or, you know, Nick Saban, who, you know, I don't know if you heard, he might be in coaching. So, Arkansas, just let him know. But it's like Nick Saban having an awful defense or anything like that. It just doesn't make any sense. And I don't really know if there's the rhyme and reason. I don't know if it's just because he was able to focus solely on the offensive line his whole career. And he's always been a great recruiter, too, in building those relationships. But the game has changed, as you guys know, in college sports. So I think that maybe that's a lot more difficult for him to just, hey, come here and play for me because you love me. It's like, hey, come here and play here because I'm going to pay you the most. I don't think he's able to do that, which a lot of coaches haven't been able to. And so when you can't recruit the high level, you don't maybe not have the great offensive line. So it's been really weird how that's not been the case. Maybe this is the year it really takes steps forward, but that's just one of many mysteries of the Razorback experiment under Sam Pittman that nobody can figure out.
Got anything? Last things?
No, I mean that's pretty much it right there. I am a little worried again because you talked about home and away, but then you made a good point that they seem to play better on the road because you talk about a tough road schedule. That's, you know, a lot of people want to pile on Georgia or Mississippi State or look at Florida's schedule. It seems like Arkansas since COVID year has been screwed, you know, annually on these. Are you looking forward to 2026 release? You know, it feels like there will be maybe the clouds parting a little bit.
You're already jumping ahead of season? Come on.
Yeah, brother.
We don't know what the schedule is. It could be twice as hard.
Yeah.
It probably will be.
Yeah, it will be. Yeah, I know they'll get Georgia on the road. You know, they'll throw in Florida on the road. You know, whatever it is, they're going to make it difficult.
I remember that 2020. They're like, we're going to play 10 SEC teams, and we looked at Arkansas, and we're like, what did?
Yeah, you know? I'll never understand. But here's the deal: is like I think from at least comments that Greg Sankey's made, Arkansas and Texas are going to play each other every year in every sport, which is great. So it's like you're always going to have that difficult game on there. But I'm gonna poke fun a little bit of Missouri because it wouldn't be this podcast with me being on it without that. I don't know how they got the schedule they did. I was like, man, I'm jealous. I wish I had that schedule. Six straight home games to start the year, and the only team you play with a sniff of a possible college football playoff will be Alabama, and you get them at home. How does that happen? Because that's what's crazy about the SEC. If Sam Pittman and Arkansas had that schedule, I think I'd be picking them to win eight games, maybe nine, but they don't. So a lot of times, coaches' successes, and nobody's making excuses, but a lot of times it's just about the luck of the draw on the schedule, and Arkansas had no favors done for them. So, but, hey, Mississippi State, Auburn, you get it home, you know? Nope. Yeah, that's about it.
If they did go to the nine and you had to pick your three permanent, who would it be?
Well, Texas, for sure, just because of the historical purposes. I honestly... I feel like Ole Miss. I want to keep Ole Miss because that game's always crazy. You never know what's going to happen. And there's a lot of – it's closer in proximity a little bit. But I would pick them. And here's what's maybe controversial. Some Razorback fans will say LSU or, you know, A&M or whatever. I would like Oklahoma because Arkansas, since joining the SEC and really even in the Southwest Conference, they've never been close to another school in proximity. In Fayetteville, it's northwest corner of the state. Nobody's close. I mean, the closest one forever in the SEC since joining it was like Oxford, and it's six and a half hours away. But Norman is 3 hours. It would be great to go to an SEC game you can make a day trip out of because Arkansas has never been able to do that. And because of the bedlam or whatever, you know, it's no longer there. It maybe opens it up. But I'd like to see Oklahoma and Arkansas play, at least in football more, because it'd just be nice to have a place you could just drive to and enjoy the game and everything. So. Be cool.
All right, last thing for you, John. All week we're presented by MyBookie. They're paying our way to be here, so we're asking everybody for their MyBookie hottest take of the season. Could be Arkansas-related, could be SEC, could be whatever you want. What's your hottest take going into the 2025 season?
My hottest take of this year will be that Taylen Green will be at least second-team All-SEC in the league at the end of the year. I think that his Petrino's ability and his ability, because of his arm strength, because of his speed, he's got to stay healthy just like everybody, but I just really think his numbers are going to be there. I think he's going to be a lot more confident in himself. I think the receivers are going to help him out a lot more, and I think that the quarterback situation in the SEC is a little bit overblown. I know people are obsessed with Arch Manning and everything. It's like, man, maybe, but, you know, Taylen Green finished fifth, I believe, last year in the SEC in passing, and there are three guys that were ahead of him are gone. They moved on. Nussmeier's still around, but yet nobody's talking about Taylen Green being in the mix for even a top three quarterback in the SEC, and I'm like, why? I get it, you know, other teams, but I just think there's just a lot of assumptions about it. Well, you know, Lane Kiffin's quarterback. He's going to be good, so he's going to have yards. It's like, well, don't forget Taylen Green, man. This guy performed in a high clip. He's got to limit the turnovers, you know, obviously, but I think at the end of the year, he's going to really surprise some people. And if he does get all SEC, then I'll be the first one that says that it's crap and he got screwed over, because that's what Arkansas always has happened to him by the SEC. So, but yeah, give me Taylen Green, man. I think he's going to have a big year, and I think he'll be all SEC by the end of the day.
He's already writing his show titles months in advance.
That's
all right.
Right.
Where, John, before you go, tell our audience, where can they follow you and where can they find that content that you got all over the internet?
Yeah, so Inside Arkansas, we do a live stream show every day. You can follow it on YouTube and subscribe there. You could go on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, pretty much any social media. We're always streaming live, but we have audio podcasts for it. We do a basketball podcast with the Pod at the Palace. We do a baseball podcast with the Bombastic. So we do a lot of that. And then the Locked On Razorbacks podcast is just my daily podcast that you can check out wherever podcasts are found each and every morning throughout the week, just talking all things Razorbacks. So as I've always said, it's like, if you can't find my content, if you can't find me, that's a you problem, because I'm everywhere and I'm annoying about it. So, yeah. So you can find me in all those places, though.
Yes, just ask Drink.
That's right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, brother.